Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Cause Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 77 for March 27th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. Start again with our Iron Man, Mr. Happy Set.
Hey, yo.
We've got Kev Botrek.
Howdy.
And we've got Carp.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All kinds of news this week, starting off with X-Men. Days of Future Past full trailer is epic and incredible. Director Pablo Larraine, not David Yates, to take on Scarface remake. Avengers 2 Age of Ultron set photos reveal first look at Ultron. Are Frozen, Tangled, and The Little Mermaid actually linked? Johnny Depp's Transcendence will be in 3D, but only in China. And Paul Walker replaced by CGI and body doubles in Fast and Furious 7. Heavy Set, what would you like to discuss this week?
Oh, there's two stories I really like, and I'm going to go with the oddball one. Let's talk about Frozen, Little Mermaid, and Tangled.
Disney's Frozen has been a gargantuan hit that has been killing it at the box office, on the Billboard charts, at the Oscars, and an endless source of web-based entertainment. So it shouldn't surprise you to learn that one obsessed Frozen fan has concocted an intense theory about how three of Disney's princess tales, Frozen, Tangled, and The Little Mermaid, all exist in the same narrative world. But I warn you, this is gonna get dark. All right, so the article goes on in this massive conspiracy theory. And you know what, Heavyset, I'm gonna throw this to you because I know you were really excited about talking about this. So explain to us his theory and how this could actually work.
Okay, I don't have the news article in front of me right now. But basically, Tangled and Frozen are linked together, and there was an Easter egg in Frozen that I didn't catch until I read that article. And there's a moment during commencement ceremony or whatever where there's a bunch of people around, and Tangled, Rapunzel and the guy that she ends up marrying, guy gets with, I don't even remember some of their names. There's a part where they're in it, and you can clearly see them, but it's like it's their back, but you see enough of them where that's basically them. And there's people who are analyzing the costumes from Tangled and Frozen, and basically they come from countries that are around the same area who could have been trade partners during the same exact time. So basically you see Rapunzel showing up at the commencement ceremony for the girl in Frozen, and the parents in Frozen died by a boat trip in the sea, whatnot, blah, blah, blah. It's believed that they were going to something for Rapunzel. I think right there, like between those two, like this could very well be true. It's not a far stretch, but it's the Little Mermaid part which makes it interesting. A movie that came out such a long time ago, we're talking almost 30 years, 25 years, and basically saying the time that they say that Little Mermaid took place, judging by the costumes in it and everything, could very well be the same sea, the same body of water that the two kingdoms of Frozen and Tangled were on, the trade routes for them. And if, like, it's the ship that they use underwater for Little Mermaid could very well be, in its own stretch of imagination way, the same one of the parents from Frozen. I don't do it justice. I suggest you to check out the article in the outline. But I think it's very interesting because this is something that kind of made Pixar so successful, is basically all the characters live in one universe. They hardly ever have interaction between movies, but there's those little Easter eggs that basically people know who other people are, like certain parts of where Nemo popped up in movies before, and things always pop up in afterwards. And I think this holds more water than the Andy's mom is Jesse's former owner in Toy Story 2. But that's just me.
I mean, it sounds a bit far-fetched, I'm not going to lie. It's people who have way too much time on their hands. It reminds me a lot of really hardcore smarks, you know, that just try to look for specific things. But I think if there could be any silver lining, if it is, they might have thrown some Easter eggs in. I think it's cool. I personally don't think they actively did it. But I think there is potential here. And if Pixar is smart, I think they might... This could be some potential to jump on this and, you know, maybe intertwine the movies if they have a second Frozen, have Rapunzel come into that, or have Mermaid go in. Like, actually a bit surprised that they don't actively try to interact the characters more. It seems like that could be a big revenue stream for, in my opinion. Anybody agree, disagree?
I will say that I think the Little Mermaid part could be the where it gets far-fetched. But I think there was some intention between Tangled and Frozen. I think that was blatantly meant to happen. But like I said, the Little Mermaid one is the one that could be like, now you're grasping for straws, but it works. So that's the odd part.
Kimbo Trek, what would you like to discuss?
There was also two stories I was debating on, either the X-Men trailer and Johnny Depp 3D. Let's go with Johnny Depp.
This is a very interesting article. I recommend you guys check it out. It's going to be in the show notes for episode 77. You can find all show notes for previous episodes on oldschoolmovies.net, as well as our show archive. You can find all 76 episodes. If you have a lot of free time on your hands, go check it out. Essentially, this article discusses the focus on the Chinese market. Really, they were ignored back in the day. A lot of interesting points, especially mentioning movies that have been released after the U.S. release date, and the revenue actually drops significantly. It's actually a lot better for them in the Chinese market to release it either on the same day or before, because piracy is so rampant over there. If you release it before the U.S. market, people will actually go see it, which is kind of cool. This article also talks specifically about how it's going to be 3D only in China, really showing that China is now turning into this cinematic superpower. And because of U.S. revenues declining and they're relying more on the world gross, it makes sense for movie companies to do specific targets for the Chinese market. The article also mentions how Avengers added like Chinese actors in it and stuff like that. I think it's smart, Kev. I'd like to get your thoughts.
Oh, there's actually so much to to discuss about this article. You have, you know, the increasing reliance, or maybe not reliance, but the increasing importance of the foreign market on the box, like on a movie's bottom line. You have the whole thing with 3D. You have the issue with releasing movies on the same date everywhere. So I guess I'll start with releasing movies on the same date. And I'm surprised it's something they don't do more often. Like,
I would say just the press-wise, you know, you'd want to get the actors in the country or in the bigger city to kind of create the buzz. And you can't do that if you have a worldwide release.
That's fair. But at the same time, is piracy becoming that big of an issue where you're losing a lot of...
In Asia, yes, and that's what they go on to describe in the article, that it might be better for them to either get the early release or have a U.S. matched release.
And that's the thing, like, I'm not sure, like, for the big, big movies, I don't think, like, the press or, like, the publicity and having the actors there is going to make that much of a difference. I don't know, I think it's smarter to release a movie as much as possible, release it on the same date. And I also found it interesting where they were talking about the 3D. Specifically that they weren't going to have a 3D in the U.S. because it seems like every movie these days, I mean, we've all complained about it. you know, every movie to stay is putting 3D in the movie to get those extra dollars. So I'm curious why they wouldn't do that for this movie. Like, I know obviously it's probably a bigger percentage of the market in China, but I mean, as we saw with Fast and the Furious, the Need for Speed, I keep making that mistake, even though
that's the problem. That's why the movie didn't do well.
Well, that's another story. It actually didn't do as bad as people think. But anyway, like, if you can turn Need for Speed into a 3D movie, why wouldn't you put something like this where you figure it would be a little better suited, even if it's post-converted?
Maybe they're fearing that because, you know, you have to have separate showings for 3D and non-3D, that they would make more revenue just making it all 2D, that, you know, more people would prefer the 2D. I'm guessing maybe they're seeing the decline or the unpopularity of it as well.
Yeah, that's the I guess that's the potential issue. And I guess finally, I'll just briefly mention, I guess we talk about it more in the box office stuff, but we are seeing a lot more reliance on foreign grosses not being ignored. Like, we're seeing sequels made even if they don't perform well domestically, if they do good on the foreign market. And I think it's smart to realize that, because people look at a movie not doing well in Canada and the U.S. and are like, okay, this movie's a flop. But you're not looking at the rest of the world, where it's usually about 75% of the box office.
And I think that goes with everything that's very U.S.-centric. I mean, that's the economy and everything else. People look at the U.S. as kind of the leader. So, but you know, nowadays it's changing, and the world market is becoming more important in cinema and everything else.
Well, yeah, that's it. And if I can, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but if I can give Resident Evil as an example.
Oh, fuck off. Hold on. Okay, edit.
Hey.
As of now.
No, but these movies, the sequels are being made not because of what it makes in the U.S., it's because of what it makes in the rest of the world. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
Well, thank you for your irrelevant opinion. Carp, what would you like to discuss this week?
There's three, but after watching the trailer, the X-Men Days of Future Past.
All right, let's get that trailer up.
So many battles waged over the years. And yet, none of them like this. Are we destined to destroy each other? Or can we change who we are and unite? Is the future truly set?
Like, already there, take my money. Like, 10 seconds in.
Mutants, we now find ourselves on the edge of extinction. You'll need to go into the past to end this war before it ever begins.
Use your power. Bring the X-Men together.
It's good to take the two of us. Side by side at the time when we couldn't be further apart.
You took the things that mean the most to me.
Maybe you should have fought harder for them.
A new enemy out there. Mutants. You'll need
yes!
a new weapon for this war.
I know what I have to do. It's us or them.
All those years wasted fighting each other, Charles.
I watched a lot of people die. Friends.
Been given a second chance.
Guide us. Lead us.
I don't want your future! We were supposed to protect them!
You're afraid. I remember.
Okay, first of all, this is starring everybody ever that made a movie in cinema, ever. Two epic parts of this, I mean, of course you're bringing in Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Along with the new Patrick Stewart and the new Ian McKellen, Magneto, and Xavier. You're also bringing back all the old cast. You've got the little guy from Game of Thrones, which is awesome. Forget his name.
Peter Dinklage. Dick.
Peter Dinklage, right, the little guy. One of my favorite scenes is like half a second, but it's Magneto just like brushing his hand, like dismissing, and like 40 guys fly off. He just knocks 40 people onto their ass just by going, like, it looks amazing. And I mean, I liked the first reboot, so this is just going to be, like I said, 10 seconds and take my money. Carp, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was, well, pretty much when they started mentioning that this was finally going to be about the Sentinels and how it's kind of like post-apocalyptic and, you know, one of the characters, they didn't say which character at the time, but one of them would be traveling back and it's based on this story. I was like, yeah, no shit. You're getting my whatever amount it's going to cost without 3D, hopefully. And then the trailer when like the Sentinel appears behind Storm, I was just, I had a fanboygasm. And yeah, holy shit, this looks awesome. Peter Dinklage as Bolivar Trask, I believe his name is, awesome. Both Magnetos, Ian McKellen, and Michael, according to Will, Big Cock Fassbender. And then Patrick Stewart along with James McAvoy. I'm a fan of James McAvoy's acting generally. So yeah, holy shit, yes, I'm there, May, whatever the hell it's coming out. And I mean, just the Marvel movies coming out this summer, holy shit. Yeah, wow, holy crap. I'm fanboying out this summer so far. So.
All right, awesome. Kebo Trek, quick yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, like, I actually haven't, I have it, but I haven't seen the third original X-Men and the new one, but seeing this trailer makes me want to go watch those right away. And I always come back to it, but this is the perfect example of everything that the Lone Ranger wasn't with its trailer. So it just, I don't know, I always come back.
Why do you hate the Lone Ranger so much?
I don't
much?
Hate it. It's just a trailer, but no, this isn't.
Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't as bad as the trailer made it look to be. But no, this is one of the best trailers I can remember seeing. It looks fantastic, and it's going to make me watch the ones that I haven't watched yet.
Have you set your name?
I don't want your life. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Whenever I hear that one clip, that's what it makes me think of, like, I don't want your future. I am a yay on this. I'm not really high on the X-Men. It seems like every so many films put a bad taste in my mouth. I still got to finish watching Wolverine 2 with subtitles, so I know what the fuck they're saying. But I do think this is going to be interesting. The only thing that I'm not looking forward to is I've become, how do I put it? I hate how big like people have gotten over Jennifer Lawrence.
I thought you were going to talk about Fassbender's cock.
No, no. Not here. We're not talking about cock.
Yeah. But like how like she's got to like some people, it's like if for anybody who's a wrestling fan, it's like the same thing with AJ Lee, but
yeah,
with Jennifer Lawrence. And I totally forgot she was in New Class or whatever. So I'm not looking forward to seeing this again. And then like having like all the people, all the fanboys who like are obsessed with her, like, oh, she's naked. Just give me a break.
Hey, all right. Those fanboys love their blue boobs.
Gotta love blue tits. All right. No movie review this week. But we've got some weekend. Actually, first off, Carp, you owe me $10.
Yeah. Well, we're equal for the movie drive.
And speaking of cash, let's get into the box office. Break it down. All right, Kebo Trek, you're up. Let's break down this weekend's box office numbers.
Well, I mean, no surprise coming in first with a ridiculous $54.5 million.
I didn't see that coming.
That's a surprise. It looks stupid. And the 54 million people who went to see it are fucking stupid.
But you know what? It's a...
Would you go in 1981 when cinema was a dollar? Fuck? Are you going to fucking Cuba? Fuck?
Well, like, whatever. Shut up. It's stupid.
but it's a market, like, that's becoming increasingly hard to ignore. And it's that young adult book market or young adult market, things like Hunger Games, as much as we hate it, Twilight, like
fantastic films.
So yeah, there is like a market for it, and I think we're seeing that increasingly being, you know, not ignored as much anymore. And you know, on a $85 million budget, and if I recall correctly, there's a like it's a bunch of books, so we're definitely going to be seeing a sequel there. Coming in second place with about $17 million is Muppets Most Wanted. I'll throw this to Old School and Carp. So what exactly happened here?
I don't know.
What exactly happened? No, I'll start because I won the bet.
Shut up.
What exactly happened was exactly what I said was going to happen, is no one went to go see it.
But are you surprised? Because, I mean, lately the trend where we're seeing is especially a second sequel, or a first sequel, sorry, usually does better than the original.
This is
This is like the 15th Muppet movie, though. Muppets have been around forever, so.
That's the thing. Do you think they should have just stopped after one?
I figured after the success of the last one, and they did a world tour with the Just for Laughs people, and like they had a live stage thing, I figured it would have pulled in, that they would have had all that crowd. I mean, I think they had 4 completely sold out shows here in Montreal for Muppets Live on stage. So, and
that's different, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I you can make another one. Just don't put it at a $50 million budget.
That's the issue.
If you're making them on PBS, like a billion episodes, you tell me you can't do a $10 million movie?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and the old ones used to make like 4 or 5 million. So I don't know if the budget just got inflated, whether it be salaries or whatever.
But... I think Miss Piggy was holding out there for some extra cash.
Coming in third place, adding just under $12 million, is Mr. Peabody and Sherman, giving it a total of $81 million. Not enough. Even with the foreign, it's not going to be enough, I don't think, to cover not at all that budget. Coming in fourth place, debuting with a little over $9 million, is God's Not Dead. I don't know much about this, so I can't really comment on it. Coming in fifth place, adding $8.5 million, giving it a total of $94 million, is 300, Rise of the Empire. And this is a good example where you look at a movie and you think its budget relative to its success domestically, it's not going to be a hit, but you look at and it's made $300 million overall. So obviously the studio in the end is going to make a nice profit. Exact same thing with Need for Speed, or as I like to call it, Fast and the Furious.
It's Fast coming and in, Furious 6.5.
Exactly. With
it's Fast and Furious with good acting.
Yeah, there you go. It made just under $8 million. It given it only $30.5 million domestically on a budget of $66 million. But again, we look here, it's already made $96 million on the foreign market.
Sequel?
I don't think we'll see a sequel, but
I mean, it's made its money back.
And yeah, but just making its money back doesn't necessarily mean we'll see a
sequel. Make its money back week two.
I don't think we'll see a sequel.
We're going to see a Dread sequel.
Yeah, no, that's a whole nother story, but...
Well, what's the difference?
I don't think it'll be enough money to justify a sequel. I think they'll be happy with it, but they're not going to go to the well a second time.
Okay.
Coming in seventh place, adding $6.7 million, giving it a total of about $13 million, is The Grand Budapest Hotel. This movie just continues to get bigger and bigger. They added 238 screens, so we saw a slight drop in its average per theater thing. But again, I think we'll continue to see this movie grow a bit. Coming in eighth place is Taken 3 with 6.4
Taken
million.
Taken in the Sky. Just say Taken in the Sky or no, Taken on a Plane.
Taken 3.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, it's made just about $80 million. And so... With the foreign, again, we're going to see this movie making a profit. And again, you know, it's not breaking the bank, but we're seeing...
I think we're going to see more movies with a particular set of skills.
Well, that's it. I mean, he's shown to be an action star in his, what, mid-50s or whatever he is. So that's awesome. Coming in ninth place, adding $4 million, is the Lego Movie, giving it $243 million domestic. And rounding out the top 10 is the critically acclaimed... Tyler's Perry, The Singles Moms Club, adding another $3 million, giving it just under 30.
Which will be available on Netflix as of next week. Yeah. Thank you very much, Kevbo Trek.
Can I add one thing quickly?
Go for it.
I just wanted to mention Frozen quickly. Its worldwide total is about to pass Toy Story 3 and become the highest grossing animated movie of all time, which is just an amazing accomplishment.
Congratulations to Frozen. Heavy set, you were saying.
I was going to go back to the number, what was it, 2 movie with Muppets. The reason why it didn't do so good is because they didn't go on Raw this time. Boom, problem solved.
It's true. It's 100% that. And speaking of upcoming movies this week, Arnold's movie is going to do like $400 million opening because it was on Raw. He was on Raw with Hogan. Yeah, segueing into Sabotage coming out this week, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let's get your thoughts after the trailer.
How's he tattooing a dick on your back, Tyrone?
In Will's case, a giant dick.
It's a fallen soldier, bro.
Yo.
Morning, boss. Get your weapons. Let's go.
You, put the shirt on.
It does kind of look like a dick.
Dude.
3 yards. I'm the judge. Don't blow your balls off.
Don't worry. They're made of brass.
Are they as big as your wife's?
Go, go, go. Cover your sides.
Sure.
Target down.
Yes, Matt.
Down.
Clean up aisle 3.
In what we do, there is only trust.
You're the heart and soul of this team.
The arrest today of a major cartel leader has led to a seizure of millions of dollars in cartel money.
McNeely?
Something off. Oh, my God.
Gotta ask you a few questions. $10 million is missing from your cartel bust. Did you steal it?
No.
Two murders of DEA agents have happened on my watch.
Why do you think the cartel's killing your guys?
It's the money.
They're watching us.
The only way to stop the cartel is to find out who stole the money.
It could be someone on my team, one of my own people.
Some of us are getting paid, the rest of us are just getting dead.
Cartel's got your wife and kid. I'm sorry.
Tell John to come for you.
Daddy, please don't find me!
I'm gonna destroy them.
Sabotage, starring Schwarzenegger, coming out this weekend. Actually, it looks like it was released a couple weeks earlier than predicted. April 11th, it was supposed to be on this YouTube channel. So I think they might have bumped it up a couple of weeks. Start with Kimbo Trek, yay or nay?
I think it's a yay for me. It's everything Last Stand should have been. Like what I want to see in a Schwarzenegger movie. So I think...
Him shooting guns and not fighting a lot.
Yeah, that's it. And being an old man. Like, I want to see...
Yeah.
I want to go back to my childhood Schwarzenegger. So to me, it looks like a fun movie where you just shut off your brain for 2 hours. So I'm going to be a yay.
Carp, yay or nay?
I'm a oh hell yes. It's Schwarzenegger. Sam Worthington, which when they actually said who Sam Worthington was in his group, I couldn't believe it because he's bald. Joe Manganiello. Actually, looks like he could kick some ass. Plus, it's the same guy who did Training Day. So, if you didn't like Training Day, then you suck. And Training Day writing with Arnie, oh, hell yeah.
Heavy set.
You know when they say 3 out of 4 dentists approve something? I'm that one asshole. Not up my alley.
Okay. I'm on the fence with this one, but I'm probably going to lean towards yay. All right. What else is out this week? Noah, we're not going to play a trailer. If you've read the book, you know what happens.
You mean if you've read the Bible?
Yeah, if you exactly like it is in the... Yeah, he gets an ark and a bunch of animals and all that crap.
When I seen the trailer for this with my girlfriend, and I forget the comment she made, but I was like, book was better.
That's awesome. Upcoming movies for this week.
Could I actually suggest one that's limited release in the U.S. and it's actually coming to Canada in April? The Raid 2. If you've seen the original Raid, Redemption, this movie is apparently more violent than Passion of the Christ, but it's a martial arts flick.
So Jesus in a martial arts flick.
No, you've got to see the Raid Redemption, and you're going to be like, okay, this is one of the sickest martial arts action flicks I've ever seen.
Starring Jesus.
That would be awesome if it was starring Jesus, but it's starring... It's some sort of Thailand...
So what does Jesus have to do
with
it?
Shut up. That's what it has to do. Shut up.
All right. Check out DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
If you missed the Vince Vaughn attempt at weird comedy kind of kooky movie, Delivery Man is available on DVD and digital download this week. I wouldn't even check it out on DVD. This, like we mentioned in the movie review, it's just not a Vince Vaughn movie. It they try to market it as, but from what I'm told, it's just, and even the trailer, it just, he should not have played that role. That's all I'm saying. Wolf of Wall Street. So go ahead.
I was going to say, if the movie ever gets to Netflix, check it out. Or if you're really curious of what it is, check it out. Like I said before, I liked it, but it was that fact of Vince Vaughn was probably the wrong casting role for that movie.
Walking with Dinosaurs. This is a new Pixar type animation with John Leguizamo and Justin Long, the guy in the Apple commercials, as well as this one I really recommend if you haven't seen it yet, even, you know, regardless of the Oscar buzz, Wolf of Wall Street. Definite, definite rental. All right, I guess it's that time of the show where we talk about some Carp's Bargain Bin.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Carp, we got no movie review this week, so might as well throw in a couple of extra movies if you've seen them, and I believe you have.
I've seen a few. I've seen three, so I'll let
you. We'll start with this week's homework.
This week's homework was Antiviral. Yeah. Steve Cronenberg, his son, wrote and directed this, Brandon Cronenberg. Simple synopsis, Sid March is an employee at a clinic that sells injections of live viruses harvested from six celebrities to obsessed fans. Sid also supplies illegal samples of these viruses to piracy groups, smuggling them from the clinic in his own body. When he becomes infected with the disease that kills super sensation Hannah Geist, Sid becomes a target for collectors and rabid fans. He must unravel the mystery surrounding her death before he suffers the same fate. Holy shit, this movie was visually fucked up. It was really well written. It showing how some people are so obsessed with celebrities that they'd be willing to get infected with the same diseases or colds that these celebrities have. And it's a company that actually markets on that. It's like if Apple said, hey, you want the Miley Cyrus AIDS? We'll give you the Miley Cyrus AIDS. And there's some people so obsessed that they would love it. Written wise, this is a solid 7 out of 10. Visually, it's an 8 out of 10. The main character, Sid March, was a phenomenal actor, but he was a creepy looking ginger. So, all in all, for me, it's a 7.5 celebrity diseases infecting my bodies out of 10.
So, you're saying you want Miley Cyrus AIDS?
Well, no, I'm saying like some people are so obsessed with Miley, or if like Bieber had herpes. How, like, all these girls would want Bieber herpes.
Here's the thing. Hypothetically, you already have AIDS, let's just say. You're like, fuck it, I'm already all in. Might as well get some Miley Cyrus AIDS.
Yeah, on top of it. But here's the thing is, like, the company that they focus on is called the Lucas Clinic, and they don't allow deadly diseases. And when the Sid March character catches a deadly disease, then all this crazy stuff starts happening. It's so bad that there's they're called stem cell steaks. And they use the stem cells of celebrities to create steaks so that people can basically eat their celebrity. It is so, like, it's a good mindfuck movie. It's like, this is...
You know what? I got a joke about Will here, but I'm not going to go in.
This, yo, no, Will would be like, if I want a piece of Fassbender meat in my mouth, I can get it.
Moving on.
It's a mix of drama, horror, suspense, sci-fi. It's all thrown into one. For Brandon Cronenberg's debut... Phenomenal film.
All right. Throw one more at us.
All right. So you got two options. I'm going to give them to you. There's The Divide starring Michael Biehn, and there's The Pawn Shop Chronicles starring Brandon Fraser, Elijah Wood, and a bunch of other actors. Pawn Shop Chronicles is kind of a if you've ever seen Creepshow, how it's like three stories kind of thrown all together, it's like that. It's Paul Walker's in it, actually. So quick movie synopsis. In this shop, these people may be pawning for more than they bargained. Brandon Fraser, Elijah Wood, Vincent D'Onofrio, Academy Award nominee Matt Dillon, Norman Reedus, Thomas Jane, Lucas Haas, and Paul Walker star in three twisted tales, all connected by items from a southern small-town pawn shop. A man searching for his kidnapped wife, a couple of white supremacist meth heads, and a sad sack Elvis impersonator, plus more depressed characters come to life in an action-packed and hilarious story written by Adam Narvovich and the director of The Cooler and Running Scared, Wayne Kramer. This was actually really good, too. Like I said, it's kind of three separate stories, but that all combine because of stuff that's going on at this pawn shop. Rest in peace, Paul Walker, but he played a phenomenal meth head. His acting as a meth head was amazing. There's a moment where he's in a car.
Hold on. You're telling me he played a non-Paul Walker role?
Yeah. Well, if you've ever seen Running Scared with Paul Walker as well, he actually does a really good non-Fast and Furious actor when he's outside of that realm. He was really good. Brandon Fraser played an Elvis impersonator. He was hilarious. Elijah Wood plays another creepy dude that is just like his Kevin character in Sin City, except not a killer, but just as creepy. It was really good. Matt Dillon as like the vengeful type boyfriend was awesome. I was really, really impressed. I got this for $4 on Blu-ray. For me, it's 8.5 Pawn Shop Stories out of 10.
All right, what's next week's homework, Carp?
I got a few. I mean, I could talk about The Divide. It's still fresh in my mind.
We got to have two contenders, one you haven't seen yet for the audience.
Okay. I have Gunman starring Christopher Lambert and... Hold on.
And I'm going to throw a random title in here as well.
Gunman starring Christopher Lambert and Mario Van Peebles.
And your second option, Sharknado.
I've already seen Sharknado and I've already talked about it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yes, I have. I've got this one that I've heard of on other podcasts before. They've described it. It's called Rabies. It's supposed to be pretty crazy.
Done. We go watching Rabies.
Rabies. But I believe we're already preoccupied next week with our other...
That's a good point. All right. Check out Rabies in 2 weeks. Let's close the show. Get your final thoughts and plugs. Start with Heavyset.
Oh, we're doing it this week because we didn't do it last week.
We didn't?
No.
I didn't do any plugs?
No, we just did we did a bargain bin, and you're like, oh, for everybody, good night.
Yeah, we're like,
oh shit, sorry guys.
Carp and Cock Talk,
have a
good night.
Sorry about that.
No real plug, just normal kayfabesports.com. But I'm actually happy because tomorrow night, or hopefully by the time this gets loaded, it'll be last night. So I'm going to go see the Draft Day movie. No, Mr. Earlswell, not the draft, movie draft. I'm actually going to go see the movie called Draft Day. It's about the Cleveland Browns. It comes out on the 11th, but I got free tickets to an advanced screening for this week, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it was free, too.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Heavyset. Carp, final thoughts and plugs.
As always, StableWars.com. We are constantly looking for new members, and the WrestleMania pay-per-view will be going up shortly, where you can try and pick the winners of the matches and win a free DVD.
Yeah, Kimbo Trek, final thoughts.
Yeah, I got nothing this week.
Big surprise. All right, so for Carp, Kimbo Trek, Heavy Set, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Check out some great shows like Fight Show Live. Death.
The Split Decision.
Split Decision, yeah. The Split Decision.
Just say Spanish trending announce table and trending mobile technology. Because you keep screwing up the MMA one.
You know, I hate the movie. I hate the movie now because of you.
That's awesome.
I used to be indifferent. Now I hate it.
Hey, man, just because you don't appreciate cinematic classics.
Shut the fuck up.
Don't blame me.
Fuck off.
The King of the Coupe gives you confident precision.
I didn't know.
The new 2014 Scion TC. A unanimous decision. Lease from 125 semi-monthly.
This podcast brought to you by that time of the show where we talk a lot.